Welcome to the Traditional Catholic Daily Devotional for Thursday, July 3rd, 2025. It's the Feast of St. Irenaeus and a First Thursday, third class, with the color of white. In this episode, the meditation, The Cure of the Paralytic at the Pool of Jerusalem. Today's news from the Church, Leo XIV positions ecumenism of blood as the key to Christian unity. A preview of today's sermon, Quo Vadis, and today's thought from Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. But first, the collect of today's Mass. O God, who enabled Blessed Irenaeus, thy martyr and bishop, to overcome heresy with true doctrine and to establish peace happily in the Church, grant, we beseech thee, that thy people may be steadfast in holy religion, and give us your peace in our times. Today on the calendar of saints, we remember Saint Irenaeus, one of the early giants of the Church, a bishop, a peacemaker, and a theological powerhouse who helped hold the line during a time of real confusion and chaos. Born around the year 130, probably in what is now modern-day Turkey, Irenaeus grew up in a Christian household at a time when Christianity was still very much illegal. As a young man, he studied under Saint Polycarp, who himself had been taught by the Apostle John. So we're talking just one degree of separation from our Lord Jesus Christ. That link to the apostles shaped everything that Irenaeus would do. Eventually, he made his way to what is now Lyon, France, where he became a priest and then a bishop during a brutal period of persecution. While Christians were being martyred in his city, Irenaeus was off in Rome, appealing to the Pope to help restore peace in the Church. And that's a theme with him. He was a defender of the faith, also a bridge builder. One of Irenaeus's most important contributions came in the fight against Gnosticism, a complicated and dangerous heresy that claims secret knowledge was the key to salvation. It distorted the gospel and denied the incarnation. Irenaeus responded with clarity and authority. His most famous work, Against Heresies, not only defended true doctrine, but also laid out in beautiful and systematic language the teachings handed down from the apostles, which were at that time pretty fresh. He emphasized that the Church is universal, that her teachings are not secret but shared and visible, preserved through apostolic succession. He called Mary the new Eve and described the Eucharist as the real presence of Christ, body and blood. In so many ways, he confirmed and gave shape to the Church's theology at a time when things could have splintered apart. Saint Irenaeus died sometime around the year 200, likely as a martyr. In 2022, interestingly, Pope Francis officially declared him as a doctor of the Church, calling him the Doctor of Unity. Today, devotion to St. Irenaeus is especially strong in Lyon, where churches and even city squares bear his name. His feast reminds us that truth and charity must go hand in hand, and that the best defense of the faith often comes from those who love it deeply and live it humbly. St. Irenaeus, fearless teacher of truth, pray for us. Today's meditation, The Cure of the Paralytic at the Pool of Jerusalem. After these things, says St. John, that is, after the cure of the issue of blood, the two blind men, and the deaf and dumb, there was a festival day of the Jews, and Jesus went up from Capernaum to Jerusalem. He went to celebrate the Pasch publicly for the second time. From this Pasch began the second year of his ministry. He chose to inaugurate it by a wonderful miracle which will form the subject of our meditation. At one of the gates of Jerusalem there is, says the evangelist, quote, a pond, which in Hebrew is named Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick, of blind, of lame, of withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And an angel of the Lord descended at certain times into the pond, and the water was moved. And he that went down first into the pond after the motion of the water was made whole of whatsoever infirmity he lay under. And there was a certain man there that had been 38 years under his infirmity, end quote. Jesus Christ, being the sovereign lawgiver, was not bound to observe the Jewish Pasch, but yet he did so. This should teach us how we should keep the laws, the rules, and even the established customs of our communities. Instead of laughing about them or saying they're not part of tradition, we should observe them. In certain cases, we might lawfully claim exemption from them, but let us rather keep them from a love of order and to give edification to others. And this will be very meritorious before God. Is this our habitual practice? Our Lord teaches us another lesson. When he arrived at Jerusalem, he chose to remain among those who were afflicted and singled out of the most wretched of them all, Do we follow our divine master in this respect? Do we see people in our towns, in our villages, in our countries who are afflicted, and do we approach them? Or do we stay in our comfortable communities? This is taken and adapted from Practical Meditations published by Angelus Press. There's a link in the show notes. Today's news from the church. Pope Leo XIV positions ecumenism of blood as the key to Christian unity. At his Angelus address on the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, Pope Leo XIV touched on themes of Christian unity and martyrdom, repeating a controversial idea that's been echoed by recent popes, the notion of an ecumenism of blood. Standing before pilgrims in St. Peter's Square, the new pontiff reflected on the church's origins in the witness and the martyrdom of Peter and Paul, the two apostles who gave their lives for Christ in Rome. But then he went further, suggesting that a similar invisible unity exists today among all Christians, regardless of denomination, through their willingness to die for Christ. In the Pope's words, quote, "There exists an ecumenism of blood, an invisible and profound unity between the Christian churches, which, however, do not yet experience full visible communion," end quote. Pope Leo XIV went on to emphasize forgiveness as the key to church unity and encouraged perseverance in the search for reconciliation between divided Christians. His remarks, though, are raising concern among many Catholics, especially traditional Catholics, who argue that this notion of shared sainthood with non-Catholics risks undermining the very nature of the Catholic Church. So let's take a look at what he's saying. Let's really take a look at what he's saying about this ecumenism of blood. It's important that we look at the facts, not just the emotion of it, because as traditional Catholics, we hear the word ecumenism and we immediately go danger. So let's take a look at what happened. This idea of ecumenism of blood is not new. Pope John Paul II in 2000 hosted an ecumenical commemoration of 20th century martyrs, bringing together representatives from Protestant, Orthodox, and other Christian groups. Later, Pope Francis also adopted the language of shared martyrdom. In 2021, he commemorated 21 Coptic Christians murdered by ISIS, calling them saints of all Christians. According to traditional Catholic teaching, martyrdom is not simply about dying for Christ. It's about dying for the Catholic faith, visibly and publicly. As explained by Pope Benedict XIV in the 18th century, the Church cannot declare someone a martyr unless they professed the Catholic faith. A non-Catholic who dies for Christ may indeed receive the reward of martyrdom before God. Yes, that is true, and that is where baptism of blood comes in. However, that person, the Church has taught us for many years, cannot be formally recognized as a martyr by the Church. So just to recap, because it does get confusing, baptism of blood is real. It is a thing. Someone who dies for God, someone who dies for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is not a Catholic, can obtain the reward of martyrdom, but would not be declared as a quote-unquote martyr by the Catholic Church. It's subtle, but there is a distinction. Why is it important? Because critics, traditional Catholics, warn that this broadening of the term martyr to include non-Catholics is not just theologically shaky, it's also dangerous and causes a lot of confusion. They argue it weakens Catholic identity, blurs the line between the one true church and separated communities, and fosters the belief that salvation is equally available in all Christian denominations. While Pope Leo XIV's appeal to unity is heartfelt, it's also a stark reminder of the ongoing tension between ecumenical outreach and a real true fidelity to Catholic doctrine, which, let's be real, this is a tension that is likely to define much of his papacy. To read this full article, please see the link in our show notes. Now a preview of today's sermon, Quo Vadis. We know that St. Peter is the rock upon which Christ established his church. He's one of the greatest saints, obviously, and we owe him our veneration. However, we should also reflect on St. Peter's conversion, where he recognizes our Lord along with his own sinfulness. Despite St. Peter's imperfections, Christ beckons him to follow. And so we see throughout the Gospels, St. Peter not only following, but really chasing after our Lord. We're called upon to do the same, to recognize our sinfulness, and then to go chase, to never give up our pursuit of sanctification in Christ.
Our Lord, he turns and says, "Who does everyone say that I am?" We go through the church, say, "Who does everybody in this church say that our Lord is?" We'd all come out and say, "He's the Son of God. He's the Word incarnate." It's our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. But then if we dial it in and say, who do you say that our Lord Jesus Christ is? We need to be able to proclaim publicly, personally, that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that is extremely important for our spiritual life. Imitating St. Peter in that act of the profession of the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ is essential for us. But then to watch out and to be careful not to imitate St. Peter a few minutes later. Again, St. Peter in this beautiful flipping and switching in his sanguine temperament. He comes out and he claims that our Lord Jesus Christ is God. And then moments later, our Lord is going to go and say, after praising St. Peter for what he said, he's going to then turn and say that he's going to go to Jerusalem where he will suffer and die. And then it's here where St. Peter, again, not really thinking, jumps forward and says, far be it from thee, Lord. It's not for you. You're not going to do that. Don't go to your death.
If you'd like to hear the full version, subscribe to the separate SSPX Sermons podcast or to the SSPX News YouTube channel. Both links are available in the show notes. Finally, today's thought from Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. We are today living through a drama. This faith, this hope, and this charity are decreasing and seem about to disappear inside the church and in Christian surroundings. Many no longer believe in the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many abandon their faith, their religious practice, and join the different sects which do not believe in the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is apostasy. We should call it what it is, an apostasy which is becoming more and more general. They are joining that immense group of those who do not have the faith and who are already judged by God, by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is taken and adapted from The Spiritual Life, published by Angelus Press. There's a link in the show notes. Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear your thoughts about the daily devotional. Our email address is podcast@sspx.org. If there's things you'd like to hear differently or better, or suggestions, comments, anything else you'd like to pass along, we're here for it. We'd love to read it and would love to reply back and let you know what we can do to make this daily devotional really something that is beneficial to you every day. Until tomorrow, may God bless you.